Today I would like to speak to you about two things that can be an aid to you in our worship. So for the first, I'd like to show you a prayer from the prayer book. So would you please take your prayer book and open it, go to the very, very back, to page 594. 594, almost at the very end. At the top of page 594, you see a prayer there called For the Spirit of Prayer. And I'd like us to read that prayer now in unison. You may remain seated. Let us pray. O Almighty God, who pourest out on all who desire the Spirit of grace and of supplication, deliver us when we draw nigh to thee from coldness of heart and wanderings of mind, that with steadfast thoughts and kindled affections we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This excellent prayer is written based on two readings from the scriptures. One is God in the Old Testament telling one of the prophets that the messianic age will come when God's Spirit is poured out, the Spirit of grace and supplication, and the Holy Spirit will help people to pray. That's when we read about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, that is the Spirit who prays within us, helping us to pray. It's also based on, you remember when our Lord Jesus Christ met the Samaritan woman at the well, and he said to her, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, even though I'm at the altar, and we pray this prayer, preserve us from coldness of heart and wanderings of mind, my mind will wander there too. I was telling people the first service, I'm thinking things, sometimes I think of things I should do for God, something I need to fix, or something I need to have the service. I have to think these other things now, Lord, it's really important. But what is more important than what I'm doing? Really nothing. So just to let you know, I do have to pray and check wanderings of mind. And that prayer is an excellent reminder. One of the things about the services of our church and our prayer book is it's kind of like getting us back in gear, getting us back on track, that you can feel that prayer kind of shepherds into where you should be for Christian worship on Sunday. So I hope that prayer might be a blessing to you. It's a good one to come in and to read when you get in the pew to get your spirit right and in line with God's Holy Spirit. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is a devotional custom. Now, you have all heard these verses, I'm sure, from the New Testament. St. Paul writes that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those verses are very familiar to us. In the Middle Ages, there started to be a devotion based on that verse. And the devotion was that in church, when we were in prayer, people would bow their heads at the name of the Lord Jesus. They didn't bow the knee, but they bowed their heads at the name of Jesus. And so that became a custom. Now, you know, with the Reformation, things changed, but it was desired to preserve that godly custom after the Reformation, that people in our church bow their heads at the mention of the holy name, Jesus. So I want to go back to you to Shakespeare was still alive. In fact, he was in his prime, and this is just after the death of Queen Elizabeth, the first Queen Elizabeth. And these are the Church of England canons of 1604, and they say this: when in time of service the Lord Jesus shall be mentioned, due and lowly reverence shall be done all persons present, as it hath been accustomed, testifying by such outward ceremonies and gestures their inward humility, Christian resolution, and due acknowledgement that the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and eternal Son of God, is the only Savior of the world, in whom alone are all the mercies, graces, and promises of God to mankind, fully and wholly comprised. So what that statement is saying is that bowing in the name of Jesus is a little statement of faith. It's a little creed that we're saying based on what they say that means. There are a couple of things about this. First, of course, it's not a commandment. It's not like a moral law. You don't judge your neighbor, think about your neighbor, if he or she is bowing their head in the name. Secondly, you can do this and follow this devotion, have no religion whatsoever. No fear of God, no nothing. So it doesn't guarantee it. But there are two things about it. First of all, we talked about, again, focusing on the service. I notice when I bow my head in the Lord's name in the service, it helps me to stay a little focused on what's going on. It just keeps me, again, focused in and following the service and making that, that we might say, holy courteous act of reverence to our Lord. The second thing is, we cherish this in our church because it's beautiful and dignified in the service when the people bow their heads at the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a beautiful, to see that sort of wind blowing across the congregation. It's truly a beautiful sight. And so so that's a blessed thing that way. It's beautiful and dignity in keeping with what we're doing here. As I understand it by St. Paul's words, at the end, all will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is true, even the evil ones. That is, even the demons will recognize that. Now, some beings will say this in clenched teeth with hatred and bitterness, but others will do it with open heartedness and joy. We want to be one of the ones who rejoice to say, Jesus Christ, thou art my Lord on the last day, and bend our knees and acknowledge God is true, our Lord Jesus Christ is true. So let us do that, and let me end this by reading to you again what the canon said from Act 1604. When in time of divine service the Lord Jesus shall be mentioned, due and lowly reverence shall be done by all persons present, as it hath been accustomed, testifying by such outward ceremonies and gestures, their inward humility, Christian resolution, and due acknowledgement that the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and eternal Son of God, is the only Savior of the world, in whom alone are all the mercies, graces, and promises of God to mankind, fully and wholly comprised. May God grant that faith to us all.